Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal. People who do difficult jobs deserve the recognition for doing those jobs and doing them well. That's essentially what Mother's Day is about. It's a recognition that being a mother is a very difficult job. It's a very rewarding job, but it's also very difficult. Is it made more difficult by expectations, not only unrealistic, but in some cases just irrational expectations that we in particular may foist on American mothers? We talk a lot about the pursuit of happiness. Does it mean that when you give birth to a child, you are now responsible for your child's happiness in some sense? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about realistic expectations for motherhood. Anna Mussman joins us. She's a stay-at-home mother with three children, author of the blog Sister Daughter Mother Wife, a recent column as well for The Federalist titled How Pretending We Can Control Our Kids' Happiness Fuels Mom Guilt. Anna, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Having come right off of Mother's Day, how can Mother's Day, its elevation of mothers, sometimes backfire on mothers themselves?
I think it's yet another opportunity for moms to see this public image of motherhood as something really important and really wonderful, which is good, but then at the same time starts a whole lot of women, I think, wondering, are they good enough and are they wonderful enough and are they doing enough in comparison to what they perceive they're supposed to be doing.
Tell us about a scenario that you found recently in a book you were reading, Angela Thirkel's novel, High Rising.
Yes, this book is from 1933, and it is very British and very different from a lot of modern approaches. It's a comedy, and our heroine is a warm, you know, friendly person, and she has several children. And her relationship with her youngest son, it's supposed to be funny, but it's also kind of startling. You know, her son is, she loves her son. She thinks he's really cute when he's asleep and quiet, but he talks all the time and he's obsessed with toy trains, and she doesn't feel guilty that she finds her child irritating. In fact, she describes him to herself as hateful, and the book says that nothing except sleep seemed to check his valueless conversation. And it's kind of strange to see a story where a mother doesn't feel any responsibility to make sure that she bonds with her child over his favorite interests. And she doesn't feel any responsibility to make sure that he lives his life in a way that will make him happy. She's just kind of, oh, you're cute. Try to stay out of my way because you're very irritating. And it's strange to see a book where motherhood is treated as something that can be handled so lightly and so comedically instead of the kind of heavy-handed bad mother bravado that we see in today's humor about moms.
You say that much of the anxiety for modern American mothers really grows out of our idea of the pursuit of happiness and a fear of suffering. What do you mean by that?
Right. It's an interesting thing where we talk about happiness, but we've lost the concept that happiness is the pursuit of virtue, which suggests having to work hard and do hard things and possibly suffer. And so we have this idea nowadays that to be happy means nothing bad should happen to you, so that you can feel good. And so we think that we need to provide this for our children. And that, of course, creates a big problem because we really can't. I mean, I noticed a headline quite recently where in a county that's in my state, they have a law that if a child is kidnapped and the child is recovered, the child can't go home to their parents until the kidnapper is apprehended. So the child has to go into foster care until this happens. And I'm sure that they have good intentions, but I think it's an example of the way we punish parents as a society for allowing anything bad to happen to their child, as if the parents should be gods and godlike, and especially the mother, as if the mother has not just the responsibility but the power to make sure that her child is always happy, meaning safe, nothing bad happening.
Is it the mother's responsibility to give their children that happiness that we're told we ought to be pursuing?
And that is a good question and something that I think modern mothers really need to be examining. Because, of course, a Christian would say, no, we didn't create this child. We are not the person who controls this child's life and this child's fate. And we are not ultimately, you know, the person who has that responsibility for our child.
Does that mean, though, that the mother has no responsibility to set up the circumstances or to equip their children for that kind of a pursuit?
And of course not. I certainly don't send my children off, you know, out the door and, oh, go have fun, hope you survive. I think that's where vocation and that Lutheran idea is helpful in our mental model, that we've been given the responsibility by God of taking care of this child, and he is working through us. We will do what we can to nurture our child and prepare them for life, but also to prepare them for suffering. And that's actually a very encouraging thought in some ways, because instead of thinking we have to prevent suffering happening to them, we can help teach them and prepare them and train them in little things so that when suffering does come to them, they won't have to collapse or just writhe in fear and pain. You know, they can face suffering, they can work through it.
How has abortion rhetoric and the whole abortion mindset changed the way we think about motherhood?
I think it's been huge. I think it's much bigger of an influence than people realize on parenting in general, because instead of having a child being a natural thing that happens and that people do, it becomes this choice. And a choice needs to be justified. If the child's existence kind of depends upon the mother's will, then that means that these children you've chosen to give birth to really are your responsibility in this huge existential way. And I think that does mean that mothers somehow feel more responsibility for their child than they should. I think sometimes it comes out in helicopter parenting and trying to force this child into the mold of the kid you envisioned that you picked when you decided you're going to have, you know, your 1.9 children or whatever. But it can also, for well-meaning, loving mothers, it can become this heavy, heavy burden to justify their decision to have kids at all.
You said something there about, you know, if the child is a choice in the case of motherhood, it has a tendency to make that child an extension of the mother's will. What do you mean by that?
I think it makes it hard for mothers to separate themselves and their child in their mental model and realize that this child is a person created by God, not themselves. They did not actually give that child life, really. You know, we can't make life happen. We can end it, but we can't make life happen. And this child was created by someone else through the means that we see of motherhood and fatherhood. And I think it can tempt mothers to feel that their child has to become the right thing to prove to them that they are a good mom. And I think it creates kind of this odd mental concept where mothers almost feel like it's a sort of sacrament to suffer and feel really guilty. People talk a lot about the guilt that gets heaped on moms with all of these expectations. But I think sensible women could kind of push off a lot of these expectations. You know, well, if my kid eats an apple that's not organic, they probably won't die. But I think that the reason it's so hard to do that is we've taken on this idea that mothers are sort of godlike and they ought to suffer guilt and stress and worry and anxiety for their children, as if that's somehow going to prove that they have the right to have children and somehow is going to help their children in some way.
You say that motherhood brings us face to face with weakness. Why is that important to realize?
I think that's something that women in the past found easier to see. You know, it's still there, but we obscure that a little bit with some of our modern conveniences. You know, it's difficult sometimes to get pregnant. It hurts to push the baby out. And all of a sudden, you are now living with this life that is not you, as mothers who can't get their baby to sleep, you know, very soon realize that this child is a different person. And that is difficult because, of course, we love that child. We want what is best for that child. And we see sometimes their will is not what is best for them.
So, Anna, why do you think that mothers of previous generations, they certainly worried about their kids, but they didn't worry about whether or not they were being good moms, it seems?
Right. I think there are several factors. I think one factor is that parenting and motherhood used to be a little bit more of a community kind of thing. You know, you had aunts and grandmothers and neighbors and other people helping you nurture and raise these children. And I think that meant that no mother felt like she had to completely reinvent the wheel to raise her children right. There was a culture there that guided women, and this is what you do, and there it is. And so you could do that by and large. I think, too, modern life has given us the illusion that we can control a lot more than we can. People do, you know, they die. We still die, but we kind of are able to hide that from ourselves often with the way modern life is lived. And I think that when people spent more of their day working with real things, with real plants that may die when you don't want them to, or they may grow where you don't want them to, and with real things versus spending so much time, you know, inside our suburban homes doing things on the computer, it was easier to realize how big and sometimes scary, sometimes wonderful the world is outside of ourselves and outside of the things that we custom choose.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother with three children. She is author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled How Pretending We Can Control Our Kids' Happiness Fuels Mom Guilt. You can read it and find out more about Anna's blog under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Anna, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Joy Pullman joins us after this. We're going to be talking with her about conservative college students, social sciences, and the GPA effect. Stay tuned. Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During May, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.